The Steelers are now 2-point underdogs for their home game, the home opener, Sunday at Acrisure against the New England Patriots. I can't figure that out. They were underdogs by 1.5. Now it's 2 points at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And the only thing I can figure is the Steelers never win when TJ Watt doesn't play. You know what? Just thinking out loud, the Steelers never do win when TJ Watt doesn't play. Maybe that's why. And maybe the book is right. Here's a theme for the day. The Steelers must open up their offense. Absolutely must. That's on Sunday against New England and moving forward. Because a scared, low-octane offense does not win in today's National Football League. The Steelers got real lucky on Sunday at Cincinnati. They got 5 takeaways. Barely got points out of them. Steelers won, but that was the exception, not the rule. It won't happen again. They won't get that many takeaways. They won't get that lucky. They've got to throw the ball downfield. You look at that offense at Cincinnati. Some people said it was like the Ben offense last year. That's not true. Ben threw the ball downfield some last year. That offense at Cincinnati, that was like the Duck offense for 2019. And I can't possibly be more critical. This is the Mark Madden Show. Joan Crawford has risen from the dead. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or follow me on Twitter at Mark Madden X. I had a bunch of stuff prepared for the opening monologue, but a bunch of notes came in my sight between preparation and just a few minutes ago, so let me kind of freestyle some stuff right now. And speaking of TJ Watt, he did officially go on IR. No surprise there. That means he has to miss at least 4 games. Giselle has left Tom Brady. They are living apart. That's been revealed. Ordinarily, I'd ask who gets the house, but they probably own about 7 houses. If I'm Brady, I quit football and keep Giselle. He done enough in football. You can never do enough Giselle. Another tennis retirement, Roger Federer, announced that his next tournament will be his last. And he certainly is among the best men's tennis players ever, arguably the best ever. And he's a classy guy, but he had charisma bypass surgery. I grew up watching McEnroe and Connors and Billie Jean King, and I really don't care who the better players were. I just know that that era was much more entertaining because it had personality. Roger Federer doesn't have personality. Serena Williams, who just quit, but she might come back, she doesn't have personality either. It's an era of good tennis, but an era of very boring tennis. Some idiot who co-hosts a podcast with Chris Wormley, Jordan York's his name, he does music too. He should stick to that because he tweeted that this is the best Steelers defense ever. What, you're judging that after 1 game? And they were 24th in the league last year when it came to yards allowed. I just don't think that's the best Steeler defense ever, unless you're 1 year old. And anybody who would make a comment like that has the football acumen of a 1 year old. There's a couple subjects I teased yesterday. One is, I bet Andrew McCutchen finishes his career with the Pirates. And by the way, there's a big rumor going around about the Pirates and their game tonight at New York. I'll talk about that when we do the Bucco Roundup next segment. But I bet Andrew McCutchen finishes his career with the Pirates. He's going to get a 1-year deal from Bob Nutting when no other team wants him. McCutchen is 35, playing for Milwaukee. His stats are only okay. So the nobody wanting him thing, that could happen as early as next year. And if the Pirates bring McCutchen back for one more year, even maybe two, that'll be PR for nutting. A smokescreen to obscure trading Brian Reynolds. That's how I bet that goes down. You watch. And I wonder how long it's going to be Sunday, the home opener at Acrisure against New England. I wonder how long it's going to be Sunday before the citizens start clamoring for Pickett, start chanting his name. What do you think? 412-333-WXDX. I bet it depends on score. You know, whether they're winning or losing more than it does Trubisky's performance. They got to open the offense up more. They got to. And if you want Pickett to play, you don't want him to play in this offense. Pickett couldn't excel in this offense. All he'd be is a game manager. And if you dumb him down, it might take a while to smarten him up later on. And we got leftover stuff from yesterday, too. Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani in the American League MVP race. How much does it mean if Judge hit 62 home runs? What do people think the home run record really is because of all the steroid tough during the golden age of the home run with McGuire, Sosa, and Bonds? We talked about this at show's beginning. Are the Steelers a lock against New England despite being two-point dogs at home? What will the Steelers' record be when T.J. Watt gets back? Will Cleveland be badass and bludgeoning like I think, despite Bronny the Elf on the 50-yard line of their home field? The Browns' mascot should be a piece of excrement because it is Brown and it is Cleveland. Mike Tomlin is 3-8 against Belichick, but that's not relevant. Brady isn't there anymore. Whole new ball game. Belichick could think of something, though. It's funny because Belichick's defensive philosophy is always based on eliminating the opposition's strength. The Steelers don't have an offensive strength. What's there to eliminate if you're Belichick? This matchup Sunday, it's bad offense versus good defense times two. The right bet might be under 40, even though that's an incredibly low number. I recommend taking it. The Patriots have a second-year quarterback and crap receivers. The Steelers have Mitch Trubisky and a terrible offensive line. If you combine the best offensive players from both teams, you still might not have a good offense. This is the first time since 1998 the Steelers and Patriots have met without either Brady or Ben involved in the game. But like I said, take the Steelers plus two. I think it's an absolute lock. Bet everything you got. Maybe this show should become just another gambling bro show. There's a great game tonight. L.A. Chargers at Kansas City. Kansas City a four-point favorite. I got the Chargers. And on Sunday, Washington at Detroit. A game that I would bet that nobody wants to watch, even if they bet on it. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans always beats Brady. The newly single Tom Brady. He'll be out there showing off for the ladies. Cincinnati at Dallas. Cincinnati favored by 7.5 on the road because no Dak for Dallas. And Monday night, Minnesota at Philadelphia, a showcase for MVP Kirk Cousins. You like that? I do like that. I'm excited about football right now, but I'm sure that'll pass. Okay, just around the corner, a big rumor going around about the Pirates game tonight at the New York Mets. And I will go back in time with an extremely dated story that'll tell you why Judge should get AL MVP over Ohtani, but why it might not happen. Then again, Judge is a heavy, heavy, heavy betting favorite. It's the Mark Madden Show. Oh, we got Jerry Dulac for his regular weekly segment. That's at 3:30 here on 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
And his drink? Smoked pot, figured if he showed up at rehab wrecked, it gave him a better shot at getting most improved.
The X at 105.9.
Just to remind you, the Steelers don't win whenever T.J. Watt doesn't play. Maybe that's why they're two-point underdogs at home against New England. And by the way, they put up the new Acrisure Stadium sign at Acrisure Stadium. It's big. It's real big. It's bigger than the ketchup bottles. But now it's time for the Bucco Roundup. The Pirates have won four in a row. They are red hot. Red hot. To the top, they are red hot. They play at the New York Mets tonight. And it's Roberto Clemente Day across Major League Baseball. And there is a rumor that MLB will mark the occasion by retiring Clemente's number 21 across all of MLB last night. A lot of prominent retired Latino players are at Citi Field. That has given rise to this rumor. But Dan Zangrilli, who covers the Pirates, and if I'm not mistaken, is on their radio programming, says he has been told by a Pirate source that absolutely will not happen. And I have said repeatedly, as much respect as I have for Roberto Clemente, and I grew up watching the guy play, his number shouldn't be retired across Major League Baseball. That honor should only go to Jackie Robinson. And people who call Clemente the Latino Jackie Robinson, it's just not the same. Jackie Robinson endured a ton more hardships than Roberto Clemente in breaking the MLB color barrier. And that's not to say Clemente didn't go through his share of that, but Clemente ain't Robinson. I mean, I know Clemente's our guy here in Pittsburgh, and I know a lot of Latino players say they were inspired by Clemente, but it just isn't the same thing. If your basis for retiring Clemente's number MLB-wide is that he's the Latino Jackie Robinson, he's just not. And past that, there really isn't a good reason to retire his number across MLB as good as Clemente was. I want to get back to the debate between Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani for American League MVP. Judge is a heavy favorite. Ohtani's the showbiz pick because he pitches and hits. And the showbiz guy can win. Let's go back to 1941. Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hitting streak, and he got MVP. In that same season, in the American League, Ted Williams hit 406. That's the last time anybody hit 400 in Major League history. DiMaggio hit 357, almost 50 full points less. Williams led the league in hitting, obviously. DiMaggio hit 30 home runs to Williams' 37, which led the American League in home runs. DiMaggio had 125 ribbies. Williams had 120. But DiMaggio got MVP because that was showbiz. The 56-game hitting streak was all anybody talked about. But Williams hit 406 and also had the most home runs in the league, but he wasn't MVP. Then again, the Yankees won the pennant that year, which they almost always did. Williams only played in one World Series. That was 1946 and did not do so good. But in 1941, the showbiz guy won the MVP. So while I think Judge will get it and should get it, Ohtani's the showbiz guy, and he could win again. I saw an article about Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, wondering if he would ever be the quarterback that his pedigree dictates he should as the first pick overall and a guy who did so good at Clemson. You know, maybe not. And remember back when John Elway got drafted by Baltimore and bullied his way to Denver, just wouldn't play for Baltimore, and the Eli Manning did the same thing when San Diego drafted him. Remember the pouty-faced picture he took with the Chargers jersey and hat, but he bullied his way to the New York Giants? Well, Elway won a couple Lombardis in Denver. Eli won a couple Lombardis in New York, so you can't say they made the wrong move. And if I'm Trevor Lawrence back when, in fact, even now, I want out. I say, trade me. I'm not playing here anymore. I'm going home till I play somewhere else. Guys who blithely go to an impossible situation where their careers are going to be ruined just aren't managing that career very well. I used to think, hey, go where you're drafted, but the system can really screw you. Like it would have screwed Eli in San Diego, it would have screwed Elway in Baltimore, and is screwing Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville and screws whoever the New York Jets draft to play quarterback dating back to Namath, but not including Namath, who was awesome. 412-333-WXDX, the number to call. How about in Cincinnati, they're selling T-shirts of Ja'Marr Chase flipping off Minkah Fitzpatrick during the game Sunday, giving him the double bird, which would be funny, except the Bengals lost. You're selling T-shirts, but you lost. Don't wallow in losing. You lost. Up next, going to talk Steelers with Jerry Dulac at the Post-Gazette, 105.9.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
Double Wham, what's up?
In and out like the psychotic version of the Hokey Pokey.
Mark, you are super genius.
I know.
The X at 105.9.
Steelers host New England, the home opener for the Black and Gold, that Sunday at Acrisure. Joining me now to discuss, he covers the team for the Post-Gazette. Here for his weekly appearance, it's Jerry Dulac. Jerry, Watt went on injured reserve, no surprise there. What are your expectations from Malik Reed deputizing in Watt's absence? How good is he?
Well, Mark, to be perfectly honest, I don't expect a whole lot. I don't expect a rookie in there making mistakes, that's for sure. But in terms of being a disruptive player or anything like that, I'm certainly not going to expect that or predict that. But I think he's a nice, solid veteran. You know, he's never been that type of player. He's certainly not a player who's going to come in and be T.J. Watt. Thankfully, you heard Mike Tomlin not use the expression next man up the other day, because there is no next man up with T.J. Watt. But you're just hoping to, you know, minimize whatever disadvantage you have now been put in because you don't have T.J. Watt. You know, Mark, you go back 2 weeks, and they were lucky to get Malik Reed and Jahmyr Jones. And I say lucky because, you know, it's not exactly household names who were guys who were going to come in and you go, okay, that really solidifies the depth. I like the pickup of Malik Reed. The point is, there's not a lot of guys out there. And they were, you know, they had to make a trade to get Malik Reed. And that's why people want to know, why don't they go out and get this guy or JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul. Well, I mean, there's reasons why, because they're, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul's coming off a torn rotator. The Steelers don't feel there are guys out there that they could come in and help. But I say all that, that was pre-T.J. Watt understanding that he doesn't need surgery. Once they knew he didn't need surgery, all bets were off. They're just bringing in guys to help out with depth and practice. That's it.
Will that defense adjust how it plays without Watt? Move anybody around? Does anybody's job change, Jerry?
You know, I was checking around about that, and I think certain people might be asked to do some different things up front with how they're deployed. But all in all, I don't think it's going to be anything drastic. For example, I don't think you're going to see, you know, are they going to make up for the lack of T.J. Watt's pressure by blitzing people? No, that's not in their game plan because they figure New England's going to be expecting that. So I don't think all of a sudden you're going to see the Steelers be blitz happy because T.J. Watt's not in there. So I don't think from a schematic point that's going to change. But I will say this, Mark, I think kind of, you know, I don't want to call it the ace up their sleeve, but you know, Brian Flores is going to have, an impact on this game. Not schematically, because it's not like he's in their meeting room, know what they're going to do and say, look, they're going to do this, they're going to do that in this situation, but it's understanding how Bill Belichick thinks. It's understanding their philosophy and their thought process. So that's where he's going to have, or can have an impact on this game. Mark, you look at the last five times when he was with Miami, he beat Belichick four out of those the last five times that they met, four out of six overall. So he's obviously had success against the Patriots because he's familiar with them. And so I think that's not to be discounted in this game.
Who can play better on that defense and pick up some slack? Devin Bush played better at Cincinnati. Let's start there, Jer.
You know, Mark, I'm not sure anybody really can play better because I thought they all played really well the other day. The only thing that happened to them is they got, you know, 94 plays, Mark, and the offense isn't converting third downs, sustaining drives, you know, 4 of 15 on third downs. The defense was getting, no matter how many guys they used, and you saw them use a lot, especially in the secondary, which I thought played really well. I don't know that they can play any better. The hope is that they can play less and not be on the field for 94 plays, which I don't, I went back far enough. It's the most plays I've seen the Steelers have to defend in a long, long, long time. And, you know, you're not going to expect that every week. But I think the key will be, you know, just maybe being on the field, if you're lucky, for only 65 plays, and at least being able to defend a little bit better. But from a who can play better, I thought they all, you know, as a unit, and obviously there were some monster performances. We'll start with Minka. And, you know, and Alex Highsmith played very well. And Mark, I didn't think Devin Bush made any egregious mistakes, no bad run fits or anything like that. So I don't know that any individuals can play better. I just think that defense needs to play less, to be perfectly honest.
No, I agree. But given that that might not happen very often,
right?
I did think Bush played better. His snaps were limited, too. Jack had the bulk of the snaps inside backer, and Spillane rotated in. I also like Mollett as that blitz nickel like Hilton used to be. And Witherspoon right. did okay in coverage, didn't he?
Very well. You know, Mark, that, Akella Witherspoon has four picks in his last seven games with the Steelers. And since 2020, the only guy has more picks since 2020, and he's played in 26 more games, is Minka Fitzpatrick with seven. So he's a guy who's made plays back there. Okay, he doesn't have 9 or 10 picks, but relative to the rest of that secondary, he's the one guy who has picked the ball. Arthur Mollett works well against teams who like to run the ball. He's very physical up at the line of scrimmage. You know, he's only slightly bigger than Mike Hilton, but he plays like a linebacker up there, and he's very good in those situations. So he's not great in coverage. You know, against teams who want to run the ball, and that's when you see him in the game a lot of times in you know, those kind of in-between downs where it could be run or throw if it's not just strictly run. I thought he played well last year, especially toward the end of the year, and he certainly played well in Cincinnati.
The offense has to open up, doesn't it? That game plan on Sunday at Cincinnati, and I know they led and led early, but that was worse than the days of Duck, Jerry. It was so conservative.
You know, Mark, I'm willing to give it time. I understand what's going on there. You have a quarterback who's starting his first game with a new team. Mitch Trubisky does not. His approach is he doesn't necessarily feel he has to or wants to win the game. He wants to not lose the game. And so once they got that lead, they saw the way the defense was playing. That was both their approach. Mike Tomlin admitted it. And I think that's Mitch Trubisky's mentality, too, in those situations. I think as you know, and again, he's still feeling his way, and they're feeling their way with him. And, you know, I think people have already forgotten, Mark, that, you know, this isn't Ben Roethlisberger. This is going to be a little different. And I'm not talking about last year's Ben Roethlisberger or the year before, but I'm just talking in general. He's not that quarterback. Kenny Pickett's not going to be that quarterback. Mason Rudolph is not that quarterback. But that doesn't mean that they can't be more diverse and effective as an offense. But it was one game. Yes, they were conservative. I don't think you will see it play out that way. But a big key too, Mark, you can be gambling if you want, but you still got to connect passes. And that conservative approach, or what looked to be a conservative approach last week, wouldn't have looked so conservative if he could have completed a couple of those longer passes.
No question. And I want to be patient with Trubisky too, but I do know that an offense that low octane generally doesn't win in the NFL. We're talking to Jerry Dulac, brought to you by Bud Light for the fans. Why wasn't Pickens involved more after the preseason he had? He looked kind of frustrated.
Well, that's a good call. There's no doubt about that. And let me say one more thing too, Mark, about the offense. The one thing that they want to do with this attack is run the ball, set up play action, and let Mitch Trubisky, whether it's rolling out, play action, go down the field, whatever the case may be. And if you can't run the ball, and what we saw Sunday in Cincinnati looked exactly like what we saw last year, their inability to move people up front is just astounding to me, and it happens repeatedly. And that offense is going to look either predictable or sloppy or conservative if they can't run the ball and set up the things that they want to set up. As for George Pickens, Mark, he played 45 snaps. It wasn't like he only played 18. He's 45 of the 63 snaps. He was targeted three times, and I couldn't believe the lack of attention. I thought, you know what, run some skinny posts, run some crossing patterns, go down the field a little bit more. You know, and yeah, when he caught that 3-yard pass, the official was standing right next to him, Mark, and wanted to, you know, it was out of bounds. He wanted the football, and George Pickens just threw it on the ground in disgust. Like, that's all, you know, that's all he's going to catch. So, yeah, I'm sure he was frustrated. I think you will see that change. It certainly should, because you're talking about a potentially game-changing, game-breaking receiver. And to me, if you want to kind of open things up a little bit, or you know, put a little juice in the attack, they're not going to go crazy. But I would be shocked if George Pickens doesn't get a whole lot more attention this week.
Well, you were right that the run blocking looked hopeless. I thought the pass protection was okay. Trubisky had decent time.
I agree. I don't think, you know, other than the Jacksonville game, you know, where, again, you know, they're not game planning as such, you know, where their protection looked horrible. And what we had seen early in training camp, I think their protection has gotten a lot better. But it's just the lack of run blocking. It just astounds me. Like I said, Mark, that you watched Tampa Bay the other night. Those guys are getting movement up front. They're 4 or 5 yards. Leonard Fournette's running downhill 5, 6 yards before anybody touches him. When do you see, on a regular basis, when do you see that here? You just don't. And if they want to do what they think they want to do, and you know, a lot of attention paid in the offseason to fixing that running game and the blocking up front, and so far we just haven't seen it. And I don't mean just in after one game. I mean, we haven't seen it in training camp, and we haven't seen it in the preseason either.
Yeah, Najee going to get pissed, ain't he?
Well, he's either going to get that, or he's going to get beat up some more, because, Mark, you know, 360 touches last year, you know, including pass catches. I mean, the guy takes a beating, and even the other day when there was one hole, it was like he hit that hole and was shocked there was a hole there and that nobody hit him. It was almost like he paused, like, wait a minute, where is everybody? And it's, you know, that their focus this year was to try and get him to the second level quicker. And so far, we haven't seen that.
Jerry, why is New England a 2-point favorite at Pittsburgh? I thought New England looked terrible in that loss to Miami. And I know the line is about betting and not predicting who wins, but still.
Mark, I was just asked that today at a speaking engagement I had. And I'll be honest, I was unaware of that, and I was surprised. The only thing I could think of is when that line was, and then I'm sure it'll probably move based on the betting. But I'm sure it's based on the fact that they thought, you know, obviously, T.J. Watt's not going to play, and maybe that they thought Najee Harris isn't going to play, and he will still see whether he does or not. I think he will, but I'll just hold off on that. But otherwise, I mean, New England's coming off, you know, 7 points against Miami, although Miami has a pretty good defense, Mark. And I think after the way the Steelers played last week defensively and being back at home, I'm surprised at that line. I thought the Steelers would be, you know, a 3 or 4 point favorite, to be honest.
Now, New England can run the ball. I don't like their offense.
Yes.
I don't like their receivers, but they can run the ball. That Damian Harris ain't bad. And New England does have a good defense. The bet I like most in this game, Jerry, is under 40. I think it'll be low scoring.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Mark. The score I threw out there was 20-16. I don't think I'm with you. I don't expect it to be high scoring. You know, I think, you know, the Patriots are going to want to run the ball. You know, Mac Jones is the perfect Bill Belichick quarterback. And their defense isn't bad. I mean, so much of it's going to depend. Look, there's no way you're going to expect the Steelers to get 5 takeaways and 7 sacks. And they set their offense up pretty good with that. And they just weren't able to do anything with it until those 2 drives in overtime, which got to give them some amount of credit for. There was only 2 plays in each drive, but those drives looked good compared to what we saw most of the day. So, yeah, I'm with you, Mark. I like the under for sure. I just don't get the Patriots being 2-point favorite.
Would getting to 2-0 be important? Because the Steelers, by anybody's estimation, Jerry, are on the fringe of a playoff team. It feels, every game feels like a big game.
Well, you know, Mark, it's early, of course. I think when you look at the schedule, they get Jacoby Brissett next. You know, good Lord, that's somebody they looked at in the offseason because Matt Canada, Frisman Jackson, and the running back coach all had him at, where was he, North Carolina State, and they toyed with signing him. And at the time, I thought that's not the type of quarterback that you want. You know, in my opinion, if you're looking for somebody mobile and athletic. But that's what the Browns are stuck with. So they get him in week three, and then they get the Jets in week four at home with Joe Flacco. So even if they lose to the Patriots or they beat the Patriots and lose to the Browns for whatever reason, you know, they're 3-1 after four games, and it, with a very good chance, you know, we'll see what happens Sunday. Very good chance to maybe even be 4-0. I don't think it's a critical game by any stretch, but it gives them an opportunity. Based on the way their defense played, and based on what we saw from New England in week one, not looking like unstoppable or anything like that, that yeah, there's a good chance that they can put on a nice little run here. And if it's not 4-0, maybe it'd be 3-1.
Here's the problem, Jerry, and we talked about it earlier. They just don't win when TJ Watt doesn't play. They were 0-4-1 last year when he was out or when he left early because he got hurt.
You know, Mark, it's the most important position on the defense, and so it makes him their most important player. And so when you lose him, all of a sudden you're limited with what you can do, and the other team knows it. They don't have to worry about somebody coming off the edge and disrupting their offense. And so, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it is a big loss. And you know, maybe they learned a little bit from their deficiencies last year without him. But you know, there's no replacing him. And you just hope that you just hope that you're able to do some other things well. But you know, you could talk about other guys stepping up, but they don't want to do that either. All of a sudden, it's not like Minka has to do more or Cam has to do more. No, they're just hoping that they, you know, eliminate the, you know, keep their mistakes, their mental mistakes to a minimum.
Jerry, as always, enjoy week two. Good stuff.
Yeah, thanks. Good chatting with you.
That's Jerry Dulac. He covers the Steelers at the Post Gazette. This segment brought to you by Bud Light for the fans. 412-333-WXDX. Clemente rumored the number is going to be retired across MLB tonight, although a Bucko reporter says ixnay. I don't think it should be. We've debated that a lot. Roger Federer retiring. He was great, but he was boring. How much do we care when a guy who's great but boring retires? Should Trevor Lawrence, should any good quarterback force his way off a bad team? And I got to remind you again, when TJ Watt don't play, the Steelers don't win. 105.9 The X.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
You're talking to the super genius.
Yo, double up.
Yo, drunked up Willie. Mark Madden is Pittsburgh Sports.
The X at 105.9.
We spoke earlier. It's been revealed that Giselle and Tom Brady are living apart. And it's funny, people seem like they're going to give those two their privacy. They're arguably the biggest celebrity couple in the world. The number one model, maybe ever. The number one quarterback ever. Everybody else's privacy, we just microanalyze and reveal everything. But I'm not going to give them their privacy. And I'm on record as saying if I'm Tom Brady, I quit football and stick with Giselle. He's done everything he can with football. Maybe not so Giselle. Although maybe. And I think she's right to feel double-crossed when he quit and came back. What would you do if you were Tom Brady? I'd go with Giselle. This segment brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. New England is a 2-point favorite at Pittsburgh Sunday. That's up from 1.5. I don't get it. New England might be a 5 or 6 win team. It might be that Belichick and that team hit the wall. Like Colin Cowherd thinks this is Belichick's last season. I don't know about that. Cowherd called the Patriots, quote, bad, culturally off, and they're boring, unquote. And that sounds right. I mean, you hear about guys being late for practice and no discipline. But for Belichick to quit after just 3 years without Brady and the Patriots are in decline, that's Belichick admitting defeat if he does that. Defeat to Brady. That it was Brady. But there's no denying it's gone bad. I think the Steelers got to win, but the more I look at this two-point spread with the Steelers, the dogs, I wonder. Like, that line screams at me, don't bet. Under 40, that's intriguing, right? We're just going to be the gambling bro show from now on. Under 40, the problem with that is, if you bet under 40 and there's a defensive touchdown, I mean, you got two bad offensive teams, but if there's a defensive touchdown early like there was in the Cincy game, and one team gets down by two scores early and the game opens up, even if they have bad offense, there's going to be turnovers. They're going to be converted. Then again, the Steelers didn't convert too much from their five turnovers at Cincinnati. But I do like the under. In just a few moments, we're going to talk about George Pickens, who I think got to be pissed. Well, disappointed anyway. And we're going to talk about just how conservative that Steeler offense was at Cincinnati and how it's got to open up. Because that Steeler offense was duck-level conservative. Worst quarterback ever-level conservative. And Trubisky's better than that. He's obviously better than Duck. 105.9 The X.